Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Our next guest, we're very excited to talk to her. She has worked as a nanny for over 30 years, beginning all the way back in 1989 when she was just 18. She then became famous through her show Super Nanny, which was an absolute hit in the UK and in the US. She has written several books, How to Get the Best from Your Children and What Every Parent Wants to Know, and now is doing a lot of online events, which she's very excited to tell you about. Jo Frost, a.k.a. Super Nanny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Pleasure to talk to you. You've got a lot of fans in this country because when we announced that you were going to be on this show, it was a huge reaction.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, it's all about helping every family.
So these days, having, you know, obviously become so well known to us all as Super Nanny and then moving on from that, what do you do with your time now? Are you helping individual families?
Well, I'm doing what I always did first. So, you know, I have a private consultation company where I help families around the world. And, you know, I have a series of live events, virtual live events that are happening now twice a month for the next 9 months.
Have you spent any time in Ireland, Jo?
I have, very minimum for work. And it's always been, for me, it's always been an enjoyable experience. I've always been received very warmly in Ireland, very much so. People very friendly, and they'll always come up, families, and tell you, you know, what's worked for them and, you know, their own family dynamic. So it's a good experience for me.
Well, I can promise you our children are just as badly behaved as everybody else's.
From what I've experienced, absolutely. That is true.
Do you find, Jo, that are there geographical differences to the bad behavior, or are all kids the same no matter where they're from?
No, I would say that parents experience behavioural issues on a universal level. I certainly can tell you, having spent a lot of time in America, that the children are a little bit more mollycoddled here. You know, emotionally, I would say they're definitely a little bit younger and catered to. But, you know, slow ploughing your children and helicopter parenting where you're doing everything for them, that exists everywhere, really, you know, and is about parents understanding the importance of their children having more resilience, being more capable of doing things for themselves, and, you know, families feeling heard with the amount of stresses and trying to balance work and at the same time meet the needs of their family. It's a tough call right now. And, you know, the pandemic really has tested so many families to the brink. You know, I totally empathize. It's been a very difficult year.
When you mentioned snowplow and helicopter there, I thought for a second you were talking about Celtic Tiger Ireland and we shouldn't be buying our children snowplows or helicopters. I was like, damn it, I've done too much. Get out of that helicopter, Andrew.
May I ask, how old are your children, the pair of you?
Two boys, 15 and 13, and a girl who is 9.
And I have two boys, 11 and 8, and twin girls who are 6.
God, you've got your hands full, the pair of you.
We're such good parents, though. It's just, we don't even notice.
Our children are a joy.
Shut up!
So, Jo, one of the big questions that came in from almost everybody when we said you were coming on was, can you tell us, please, what was the worst instance of bad behavior you've ever dealt with, and what was the outcome?
There's not, you know, I've done 8 years now. I can honestly tell you there's not one that really sticks out more than the other. But what I can tell you is emotionally, when I am met with aggressive behavior from kids, it's normally because they are hurting really badly. So they've been caught in the turmoil of two parents, or a moment that really has them in fight or flight, you know? So there's extreme anxiety, or there's pain where they feel so hurt or helpless and unable to change circumstances. And so they retaliate. They see you as a threat sometimes when you come into the home. So I've had objects thrown at me. You know, I had a child who threatened to throw a brick once. You know, I've had kids that will physically attack in that space because they feel that maybe I'm going to threaten the existence that's unhappy already. but it's, you know, for them, somebody they don't know coming into the home, you know. And so those circumstances are extremely difficult, but not one that really sticks out.
Sure.
You know, because there's so many, you know, over hundreds of them, you know.
A lot of questions came in about fighting, and particularly between kids who are of a very similar age. So there's one from Sharon in Galway. She has 7 and 8-year-old boys, and they're constantly fighting and picking at each other. And she wants to know if you have any tips to help them get along.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's interesting to have a, you know, an observation of the two different children you have. I think when you have children that are so close in age, you tend to kind of manage the kids and raise them as a bunch, right? You know, the boys over there, the girls over there. And I always say that I think it's important to be able to understand that as much as your children have their own little personalities, they certainly have your DNA as well, right? And your and different temperaments allow us to have the opportunity to understand the different types of relationships that we'll have with our children. So I think it's important to be able to first observe how different they are and then to recognize the pecking order in which boys will try and dominate one another or rule over each other and sort of be the dominant one, where the conflict is, and to encourage the teamwork that they'll do together, but also to be able to understand possibly, because it's not, you can't rule it out, possibly where maybe one is bullying the other, you know, and whether, you know, one is more placid in their temperament and easier going and the other one possibly in a space where they feel they can just keep over directing and over pushing those boundaries and that space. So I think that's important to be able to understand as a parent. But at the same time, kids squabble, kids fight, and kids are, you know, as thick as thieves, right? And when it's blood, it's blood. So I think that's important to remember as well, that part of those squabbles and, you know, the interactions that the kids have are also bonding them close together as siblings as well. When a parent says, look, I'm stuck in the middle, I always say, you know your children, know who each one is individually and have your own relationship with them, and then go in and teach them how to resolve themselves and identify, you know, who's being unrealistic and do we have fairness here and who's invading and crossing over those boundaries.
What about meltdowns? We got a lot of messages about meltdowns. For instance, my son has just gone 3, but he's at the screaming stage. Bedtime, in shops, everywhere. How do we deal when he's having a meltdown apart from selling him?
I can hear all these parents. Are these kids on sell or return?
Done deal.
Really, what's important is to understand that the toddler years are all about exploration, but they're also about independence as well. And if you cannot give a toddler the opportunity within a safe parameter to explore the world and to discover it, at the same time as putting in, you know, rules that keep them safe, then you're going to get taught behavior. So I have this little saying, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. And I think if parents could remember that and follow through, they wouldn't leave their child in a circumstance that allows them to have this power play, this push and pull. So a lot of parents are unaware that when they have children that just scream for everything, that they have taught their child that this is how they get what they want. And in one of my books called Toddler Rules, which I wrote because I saw this bizarre situation one morning as I switched on the news, that an airline had completely turned the plane around because a child was having a temper tantrum. And I thought, my God, we're in this space where planes are turning around because of something that every child has, a temper tantrum, a meltdown for one reason or another, tired probably, of waiting to get on a plane, hungry, you know, and a little bit, if I may say, pissed off, right? And we've turned planes around. So I wrote this book, and in Toddler Rules, it explains the difference between the type of temper tantrums, as we call them, that children have. And there are mock tantrums that are basically mock to get the desired want. We have emotional tantrums, which really are emotionally situations where children cannot articulate and they're feeling incredibly emotional. And those happen through transitions. And situational tantrums, which are built on trust. Going to the park, for example, and the child has a meltdown because they don't know if they can trust you that they'll ever come back to the park because it's such a rarity and not something that happens in their childhood every day. So there's this in-depth, you know, knowledge of temper tantrums and really clearly being able to understand them so that you can ultimately eliminate the tantrums that happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's Today FM, it's Dermot and Dave, and we are talking to Super Nanny Joe Frost. And Joe, there's a message in from a mum of three in Cork, and it's not a question, she says, just praise. She says, I've used Joe's bedtime routine on my kids and it's the best. I've rarely had a sleepless night with my kids as I can nip any nighttime messing fairly quick. Thank you, Joe.
Love it. You know, I love it. At the moments when I'm up at 2 a.m. doing a consultation or I'm in a house till 3 a.m, it's those beautiful messages that just confirm every day humbly, you know, why I do what I do. I absolutely love the work that I do. You know, it's deep in my heart. I think people know that when they watch me. It's a tank that just never dries, you know. It never goes empty. And so it's very, for me, spiritually, it's very rewarding to know that the hard work that's being done is really empowering so many parents to feel proud of what they're achieving themselves and Good on that family. Good for them.
One more question for you, and I'd say every parent wants to know the answer to this. How do you get kids, asks Jenny, to do more chores around the house?
I think first and foremost, any child, so it works for different ages. So for younger children, I think it's important for them to have a space and to have the daily practice of just putting little things away. So I talk about children being in a space where there's loads of toys and you say, come on, tidy up. And they don't know where anything goes. So if you think about school, there's a place for the paper, the rulers, the sharpeners, the crayons, the, you know, the work, right? But sometimes you can have a living room or a bedroom and they don't know where to put it. So I always say, if you can have better organisation skills and then create these little kind of molehills, it's easier because you can just do one little molehill at a time and you help your child, you do one, they do one, and you can encourage through descriptive praise of them helping you and you helping them and having a place to put it in. For older kids, when they get lazy, it's because they've had parents that have sat there and tolerated it. Like they've allowed it to happen. So it's the same when I hear partners say to me, I can't get my partner to put the shirts in the hamper. And I'm like, are you the one picking it up? Are you the one putting it in the hamper? Are you the one that's allowing it to happen? Did you put the washload on? Like, teach your teenagers how to use the washing machine. You know, teach them how to take care of themselves. Otherwise, they're going to go and marry men and women who are going to try and do it for them, you know. So I think parents easily forget. They're quick to go and buy all their teenagers the latest stuff they want because they don't want them to feel left out. And, oh, then they'll be the only one. And there you are, your teenager swanning around in their great trainers. Got the latest makeup on and they've got their phone paid for them and then they just sit on their asses and do nothing and say, no, that's your job. You know, collectively it's about, you know, responsibility, and with responsibility comes emotional maturity. And I think there's a space of being able to say, look, all those hands make light work. I cannot do this on my own. I shouldn't be doing it on my own. You know, everybody here needs to take a role in what they do. So people talk to me about pocket money and whether they should be related. And I said, if you go down that road, then you've got a smart 17-year-old entrepreneur who's going to start negotiating you, right, just to put their clothes away in their own wardrobe, right? Mm. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not for money. Like, everybody chips in at the house and everybody does their bit because we all live under one roof and we all help each other.
Makes sense.
I wanted to quickly tell you that for all the behavioural stuff we've been talking about, the lovely thing I get to do with families is to have a laugh with them. And I think a lot of families get to see me dealing with extreme circumstances. You know, when people ask me into their homes, it's never for a cup of tea and a slice of cake. It's like, sort this shit out. But I do remember a lovely family where this little boy came up to me and he handed me a can of Heinz tomato soup. And I said, oh, thank you, darling. Is that for my lunch? He said, no, that's for you because you're the soup nanny.
Brilliant. Joe, thank you so much for talking to us today. You can catch Joe live for 2 hours this coming Sunday and the 25th as well. Joe, we've less than a minute to go here before our time runs out. Tell us very quickly, how can people find you online?
Yeah, go to joefrost.com, click on live events, just browse, spend some time on the website and take up the knowledge.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Lovely to talk to you. Bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.